And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's going on, everybody? Pete, Nick, and Anna back with you. NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by our good friends over at Skip. Beachfront view, Nicky, for one last day. What's going on, man?
Not too much. Skip the official food delivery app of the NHL. Can't forget that, first and foremost. But what a view. And we have Anna Dua with us as well as we put a wrap on All-Star Weekend in Sunrise and Fort Lauderdale. Anna, what's up?
It's been a great All-Star Weekend. It was my first ever All-Star. No better location, I said earlier on the pod this week. And I stand behind that. I'm going to miss this view, guys. New York is freezing cold right now.
You were one of many first-time All-Stars this weekend. And we saw a lot of them shine in the bright sun, from the skills competition to the All-Star game. I think the highlight for me, I've covered about maybe five All-Star games at this point. This was the first time that the home team won, so there was some real excitement in the arena yesterday. And Matthew Tkachuk, man, he's like the man of the hour. Barkov was tucking him up the other day. Everybody loves this guy. There's kids out in the street in Fort Lauderdale wearing Tkachuk blue jerseys. It's awesome.
Well, I think it's pretty much, guys, what we expected from the trade from the Florida perspective. And it's so funny. I'm the king of hot takes on social media. People are in my mentions the past 24 hours. Remember that tweet about how I thought it could be the worst trade in NHL history from a Florida perspective? People are after me. I still think Calgary won the deal, but... And I think this is what they envisioned, right? Matthew Tkachuk, how polarizing he is, the draw he is, as you mentioned, the jerseys. So I think that was like sort of the nice bow on everything this week, and it was Matthew Tkachuk winning the MVP of the game.
He's one of those players that's a rare combination of a skill guy and a gritty guy, and he's like the guy you want on your team. His whole team rallies around him. The whole city rallies around him. I've seen so many of his All-Star jerseys too, not even his regular jerseys, his All-Star jerseys walking around this week, and he had a great performance at the All-Star game. I thought he did well in that breakaway challenge too, even though he got a little bit shafted by one of those judges, but great weekend for Matthew Tkachuk, and I think he's a big deal for Florida right now.
Nick, what was your favorite part of All-Star Weekend, man? There was so much going on. Sid and Ovi, right? Tkachuk brothers playing on a line together. Yeah. Oh, by the way, with Barkov, that's one of the best trios I saw all weekend. What'd you like the most, man?
Well, first and foremost, I want to say shout out to Elbow Room. What an establishment. Great place. Had a phenomenal time this weekend. In terms of the On-Ice product, I always say this, you know, there's always things people say on social media. It's for the kids. I think you can't say that enough. And anytime I walk around the arena and I see a kid smiling or getting an autograph, that's all I care about. The mascots, I think, play an integral role. I think if you're coming for All-Star Weekend and you want to see some excellent, like, you're not going to, hockey, like, you're not going to get that. It's about the children to me. I think it is.
Speaking about the kids, I talked to about 15 first-time All-Stars we had at this weekend, and it was such a surreal experience for them. Basically, what you're saying, Nick, because they got to play with people they grew up watching in the All-Star game, too. So all of them were talking about how excited they were to be able to play with and do challenges with Sid and Ovi. So it's for the kids, kids of all ages, though, too, because they had a great time.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing I really liked is I saw a bunch of guys over the course of the weekend, especially in the All-Star game itself, that are playing for teams that are not so hot, that really elevated their games. Yeah. Vlad Tarasenko, 4 points in the first game, looked like he regained his elite form, and he could be traded, of course, before the deadline. Same goes for Dylan Larkin. He was, you know, busting his rear end the whole All-Star game. You couldn't question his effort in that game. Also, guys like Seth Jones, Clayton Keller, that don't have much talent around them on their current teams, really rose to the occasion. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, we really saw them come to the forefront, and, you know, working with me the last couple years, I love contract years, and it's crazy. Crazy how some guys really start to elevate their play around the trade deadline. We're about a month away here. Tarasenko, in my opinion, good as gone. The longer this goes and Dylan Larkin is unsigned, he's the captain of the Detroit Red Wings. I think he can be in play as well.
Dylan Larkin looked like he was in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. This All-Star game, guys. He was trying so hard. Matthew Tkachuk really wanted that MVP, the hometown kid, but Dylan Larkin was so close to taking it away from him.
We haven't really set the table yet for the trade deadline, and while we're on the topic of Larkin and Tarasenko, what do you think could be the best fit for these guys? Is it Tarasenko to the Islanders to expand off what they did with the Horvat trade? It just came to mind for me. We were talking about some center options for the Carolina Hurricanes. Yeah. How great would Dylan Larkin be as the 2C behind Sebastian Aho? Just triggered in my head, but I love it.
It's mind-boggling too. Like, for me, I think the two teams I'm watching really, really closely right now, number one is Carolina, obviously, with the LTIR money to Pacioretty done for the season. Right. And the Boston Bruins, we know they were hot and heavy on Bo Horvat, didn't acquire him. So where do they change their focus to? Is it a Ryan O'Reilly? Do they go big game hunting? You know, who knows? Patrick Kane. I think the center market is where, you know, I'm fascinated the most. And I know there's tons of depth in fantasy hockey, but even a guy like Ryan O'Reilly, say he comes back relatively soon, I think he could benefit greatly in fantasy hockey from a change of scenery. And Carolina as a team, I think top six center is at the front of the radar, Anna.
Ryan O'Reilly was my top pick as well. Dylan O'Larkin. What am I saying? Dylan Larkin just wouldn't even be fair, guys. That would be like some Chell cheat code game if you had that top six with Dylan Larkin being their 2C behind Sebastian Aho. But Ryan O'Reilly, I think, would be a really good fit for the Canes because that's all they're missing, to be honest. They have Andrei Svechnikov, Martin Natchez on that second line, and they're just trying to rotate guys through that position at the 2C. And if they got Ryan O'Reilly, this is a team that's probably going to be unstoppable.
So, Nick, looking ahead to the upcoming week, Monday night, it sounds like probably Anthony Beauvillier is going to get the go for the Vancouver Canucks after the All-Star break. I was talking to Elias Pettersson the other day about him, and he said he's seen the speed from Beauvillier. He's seen the goal-scoring ability. They don't play them very often, but it was something that he noticed through the years, and he thinks that it could be like a change of scenery for him, could actually amount to something in a top-six role. Would you pick up Beauvillier right now before the resumption of play?
I would definitely take a flyer, right? I think you look at the style Vancouver plays, and I understand Rick Tocchet's behind the bench there, but there's certainly so many offensive-minded guys that I hope they adapt in the way they're set up, you know, and strategy-wise. So at the very least, a flyer in DFS. I'm happy you brought up Vancouver. Sources say whispers are starting to percolate with Brock Besser. It sounds like he could be the next name out in the next maybe week. I know Luke Shen, to a varying degree, not really a fantasy piece, more so from a hits perspective in a bangers league. But look out for that name, Brock Besser, over the next couple days, because that's sort of, you know, it sounds like he could be on the move. But Vancouver's a team, Anna, in the next month could look very, very different than they do right now.
I think they are going to look very different than they do right now. It's a team that I'm kind of ignoring in fantasy, to be honest, because I mentioned this. That's one of the – I said that, this about the Islanders, actually, but the Vancouver Canucks are down there, too, as the team that I would be least likely to stack right now, just because I don't know who's going to be playing with who and where they're going to be going. I think their stars are bona fide stars, and those are the people I'm going to keep an eye on. Pettersson, too. I thought he was really impressive at All-Star, guys.
He's
He whipped out some skills. That goal that got called back was, like, the best goal I saw in any of the All-Star games. So he's just doing great, and rightfully so, great fantasy player. But other than him, I'm not giving Beauvillier a try.
They got to get rid of the reviews in the All-Star game, right?
No comments.
That was a little buzzkill, but he still scored two goals in that first game after they took it away. So yeah totally agree. I'd love to see Pettersson on a line with Beauvillier just to see what they have there. Again, we don't know if the prospect Atu Ratu is going to start in the NHL. I'd like to see him start there, right? They traded away Bo Horvat. Yeah, I mean, but bring him up soon. Let's get a look at this kid. So that'll be something to look forward to. Also, All-Star Game Media Day reaction. I talked to Johnny Gaudreau about Kirill Marchenko, and that was something. He was saying, I hope this guy just keeps shooting. He thought it was funny that he has no assists and, like, let the good times roll with this kid.
Cy Young. And I think just in general, as we give a piece of advice to fantasy owners over the next couple months leading into your fantasy playoffs, don't sleep on the sleeper teams, if you will. The ones that are finished and cooked, they're done for the year. But that's where you find the value, right? Because they're playing really, really loose, you know, just trying to get some offense going, right?
I've been saying this for a long time. I think there's a lot of values on the team that we're discounting right now. The Columbus Blue Jackets specifically have a lot of very talented players on this roster. I could sing praises about Boone Jenner for the rest of my life, and I think he's the most underrated player in fantasy all across the board. Such a great coverage guy. But Kirill Marchenko is another player I'm looking at, and there's a players that could really pick up the pace too. Kent Johnson, Cole Sillinger. These are guys who performed well down the stretch last season, and so if they pick it up again, they might be worth taking a flyer on.
Was there anything you saw this weekend from any particular All-Stars as far as awards races, like guys that really stacked up? Obviously, for the Hart Trophy, there's you know, a pretty good gap, probably barring injury, with McDavid leading the charge. But, you know, I was talking to Jack Hughes, and obviously he's been like star of the month. I mean, Jack Hughes and Wayne Gretzky had high praise for Jack Hughes.
Yeah, I saw that.
I heard through the grapevine. So what are your thoughts on the Devils being able to maybe sustain what they started so far? They're a top five team in the league.
Yeah, and as you know, I love trade. So I've been poking around asking people what the Devils might do. And they could be in on Brock Besser, it sounds like. Timo Meier is another name. I think
Timo time.
Yeah, exactly. Like I I love that mentality, right? Like, I think we all expected New Jersey to take that step, but not this quickly. And the fact that they're right in the thick of things and the season they've had, I love when GMs reward their players for playing well. Yeah. Like, another team I'm looking at is Seattle. I know they've sort of come out of nowhere. I know they're really, really new in this league and you want to build, but I think you want to give players a reason to, not that nobody works hard, but like to give that extra, you know, if you will. So I think New Jersey's a team to watch for. I think you look at Jack Hughes, the way he's played this season. I think certainly right now, if you ask me, he's in my top three when it comes to the heart conversation.
He's up there. It is a sizable gap, though, guys. So I don't think Jack Hughes is going to close that anytime soon. But what a season he's having. He's breaking records right now for the New Jersey Devils. And he's so young. I keep forgetting how young he is. So he has ways to go ahead of him. And maybe in the next couple of seasons, he'll be able to take that trophy away from Connor McDavid. But talking about the awards races, someone that stood out to me this weekend and someone who stood out to all of us the entire season, Linus Ullmark. What a season he's having, guys. Yeah. And he's just like such an amazing guy to talk to. I talked to him about his journey. And he was talking about how it was such a long road to get here, but leading all goaltenders in save percentage heading into the All-Star break, and they're on such a solid team. So Boston is just killing the game right now. David Pastrnak also having a good performance at the All-Star game. So I don't know. The Bruins, guys, I feel like that might be the best team to stack still.
Yeah, definitely from a depth point of view in fantasy hockey. And again, we've been talking about it ad nauseum. They probably are going to pick up a top six center to really filter and insulate a guy like David Krejci. Jake DeBrusk, could he be involved in conversation as well? I'm just trying to think, Pete, and not to put you on the spot. When's the last President's Trophy winner to win the Stanley Cup? I think it's Chicago. Like, it's been a while.
What was it, like 2013 or something like that? Yeah.
So what I'm saying, if you know, even from a betting perspective, if you had a chance to take Boston or the Field, I'm probably looking at the Field. Like, I think this has been an incredible story. I'm taking nothing away. As you know, Brad Marchand's one of my favorite players in the league. I love the depth. But everything has gone right for that team. And there's going to be a moment of scrutiny or adversity that they're going to have to face. And we'll see if they can overcome that. Because I do truly feel like when you're the hunted, it's much more difficult than you being the hunter, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it's spot on, man. I think we've seen through the years playoff failures from some juggernaut type teams. Remember the Panthers won the President's Trophy last year, got by the skin of their teeth against the Washington Capitals,
exactly.
And then got swept.
Yeah.
And then the Lightning got swept a couple of years ago when they had the best record in years. So it's a danger zone. No matter who they're going to be playing. But speaking of the Florida Panthers, I saw a lot from this weekend. It's something we talked about leading up to All-Star break, right? Like the potential jolt that they could get as a franchise heading into the playoff push. And I think it's something to be talked about, whether it's an Anton Lundell, an Anthony Duclair, you know, one of their, secondary guys throughout the lineup.
Yeah.
I think Florida is going to make a pretty big push here, and I would probably side with Florida compared to the likes of Buffalo, especially if Tage Thompson's injured for any period of time, and the New York Islanders. So if somebody's going to clip the Capitals or the Penguins, I think it's probably going to be Florida.
Yeah, that's my expectation too. I just wondered if the All-Star break came at the wrong time for the Panthers, more so because they were playing so well and really riding the momentum. And the other thing to look at, too, is, like, do they have any assets to trade, right? They went pretty much all in last year. They traded 15 first-round picks. They got Tkachuk. Like, that's my wonder, too, is it sounds like they're going to have to move a body at some point, whether it's Duclair or Hornqvist. Like, somebody has to go because of the cap constraints here. And that's the only wonder. But I think on paper, you have Tkachuk, you have Barkov. The nucleus is there. I think Ekblad could be in store for a good, strong finish to this season. The goaltending is always a concern, but you can make that case for pretty much every team in this league. I like them. I wonder from that perspective where everybody around them could be adding, and I don't know if they have the assets to add right now, Anna.
They don't. I don't think they do, but on paper, what you were saying, they have a pretty solid team. Their goaltending also, we have to remind everyone that it's been absolutely killed by the injury so far. So I don't really blame the Panthers too much in that front. And they have Sergei Bobrovsky, who is a great goalie, and Spencer Knight, who has a very, very high ceiling ahead of him. So you never know. They could turn it around in the crease and the Panthers could go on a crazy run down the stretch. But it's tough because when I'm looking at the East and I have like a mental picture right now of the wild card spots available in that conference, there's Washington, there's Pittsburgh, there's Buffalo that are just heating up. And it's just so crazy because I think like between the three of those and the Florida Panthers, any two could get into the postseason this year. And I just can't even decide which ones. Like, I feel like it's a coin flip at this point, guys.
And remember, since we last talked, Dylan Strome re-upped with the Washington Capitals. So it's not like the Capitals are that flawed either. They had all those injuries.
Yeah.
Hopefully Tom Wilson comes back after the All-Star break after missing a couple of games there. But they're getting top-notch goaltending from Kemper and Lindgren so far this season. They have Ovi. Hopefully, you know, a couple days in between will help like a Nicholas Backstrom. But Dylan Strome, remember the Blackhawks cut ties with this guy. He's still relatively young, right? Isn't he like 25 or something like that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what a great pickup for them in the first place. And then a really good investment, I think, for a moderate price for the years to come.
Yeah, not to name drop. I texted him the other day because I know his trainer. I don't think, you know, there's a lot of players in this league that deserve good things. And I think he's among them, right? He's worked his bag off to get to this level. Signs a show me deal and they reward him. I think in general, I don't know about you guys, like the Caps have exceeded my expectations. Like Darcy Kemper, I think, deserves a lot of respect. I think he got dragged through the mud. I know he wins the cup last year, but like, I'm not the only one to call it pedestrian goaltending. Like, he was okay, and they still won the cup. But this year's been a different story. You look at the numbers, the analytics, the five shutouts. Like, he's put together a really, really good season, Anna.
He has, and he's not the only one that surprised me for the Capitals, right? We've talked about so many players that I never thought we would be talking about this year. We talked about Erik Gustafsson filling the role of John Carlson, who was out with the injury. Even Charlie Lindgren, when he played in the crease for Washington, was going on a couple of good runs. That's a team you can never count out. They have such a strong, solid core group that whoever slides into the lineup, they really bring the best out of them. And talking about Dylan Strome for a second, guys, I think, especially in keeper leagues, we got to change this conversation about when we're calling people a bust, because I know a lot of people are throwing that term out there for Dylan Strome, and the guy's barely older than me, so that made me feel terrible. But look at him, he's doing well in Washington. Tage Thompson, another player in that category, who would have thought he would have reached this level. So maybe take a flyer on some of these guys who have high ceilings. In the next couple of years, they could really, really pop off.
Late bloomer for sure with both of those guys. And I think you could look for keeper league storylines with Dylan Strome. I mean, this could be the guy that's playing at even strength with Alex Ovechkin for the next 2 years or so when he goes out there and breaks Wayne Gretzky's record, which we all anticipate happening. So it's really like a big surprise among the offseason moves. And again, we said it at the time with some of the guys that Chicago let go for nothing. They let Strome go for nothing, and they let Kubalik go for nothing. I mean, those are two pretty good young players. And I don't understand the direction of the Blackhawks when you're making moves like that. You want to sell high on a DeBrincat, that's fine. You want to sell high on a Patrick Kane and part ways with one of the best players in franchise history. We all would understand that.
Yeah.
But those other two moves just didn't really make any sense to me.
Very baffling. Kirby Doc, of course, in that conversation too. I just think you look at them and you're like, hey, well, we understand a direction. You know, you want to bottom out. There's a guy named Connor Bedard who we've talked about a lot. Like, he is going to go first overall. The numbers don't work out in their favor, even if they finish last in the league. And then on top of that, so hypothetically, if Bedard ends up in Chicago, he looks around and he's like, who's getting me the puck? With all due respect to Filip Kurashev, you know what I mean? Like, there's not much going on that roster. I understand you can add. I think Seth Jones in general, and Pete, we talked about this on the pod a couple weeks ago. He started to pick up his play offensively, right? It's been a struggle. Like, I think anytime a guy signs a contract the way he did, and we've had this convo about many different defensemen in this league, like, it's tough to live up to that expectation. Zach Werenski's been up and down since signing that extension. You know, Darnell Nurse is another guy with the Oilers. He's had ups, he's had downs. It's so tough, you know, to weigh into sort of what a player is making. But I think Seth Jones has taken some strides in the right direction lately.
I was about to throw Seth Jones' name out there, because in the All-Star game, Seth Jones scoring was the first time I've heard the Chicago Blackhawks goal song in quite some time this year, guys. So he's really putting Chicago on the map right now. He's such a talented defenseman. In Columbus, he was just so talented. He was a great player. And so I think he has a very high ceiling. It's just so tough because he's on a team which is a really struggling environment around him. So you can only expect the best out of him. He's my favorite player right now other than Patrick Kane on the Chicago Blackhawks, who I'd want in fantasy, but that's not saying much.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, what else are you looking at? Sam Lafferty. I've seen his name in conversations way too frequently. Like, if Sam Lafferty's the biggest name at the deadline, we're in trouble. And we're on the deadline conversation. To me, that has to be obviously the most polarizing story in my world. Patrick Kane. Does he go? Where does he go? You know, it reminds me a lot of the Claude Giroux situation last year. And I think Patrick Kane has even bigger pull to say, hey, I want to go here. That's why he's linked to the New York Rangers. I think Dallas is going to be involved. I think Carolina is going to be involved. But ultimately, I think he's going to call his shot, and to a lesser degree, I think Jonathan Toews has earned that in his career, too.
Yeah, and speaking of defensemen and the trade deadline, like Jacob Chychrun, to me, wherever this guy goes, whether he goes to the LA Kings or, you know, a middle-of-the-road team or the Florida Panthers or whatever it ends up being, that's one trade that I think could have a really big ripple effect on the future stock of wherever he goes. You know, Patrick Kane as well. I mean, Kane could complete a great line with Panarin. I mean, ever since Panarin's been on the Rangers, he didn't have an elite center necessarily or right wing, right? Those spots have always been moving around. So that's the best fit for Kane. And then I'm also interested to see for either of those guys, like, could the Edmonton Oilers join the conversation? They're cap strapped. We all know it, but they need either some more depth scoring or they need some defensive help. So to me, like, even if you were to sell high with someone else in the middle six, like, you can't overlook the Edmonton Oilers, because that's a team that, like, one more move could put that team over the top.
I couldn't agree more. They're getting the goaltending lately too, with Jack Campbell, Stuart Skinner, obviously this weekend. Mm-hmm. And just to tie a bow on the Patrick Kane conversation, would you guys fully behind, you know, endorsing this player, trying to trade for him? I think we had the same convo around All-Star last year for Marc-Andre Fleury, and I think his value is up to obviously going to the Minnesota Wild. So, Anna, would you tell people out there listening right now who own Patrick Kane, myself being one of them, who drafted him in a couple leagues, just waiting for this guy to be dealt, are you fully supportive of trading for Patrick Kane right now in fantasy hockey?
I think he's going to New York. I'm, like, very, very confident that he's going to New York.
Sources, so, or what?
Yeah, inside sources, guys.
That was an evil giggle.
Well, not to say anything to get myself in trouble, but I think he's going to New York. This is pure speculation right now. And if he's going to New York, in my head, I think he's absolutely worth trading for, because he could really complete this team. And he has a lot of talent around him in New York that he wouldn't have in other places. So I don't see him going to Carolina, maybe Dallas, but I think New York is his best fit right now. And in that case, I think it's a no-brainer.
And that's a team, if you're looking at potential spike in fantasy value, you could go out there and place something futures wise on the New York Rangers, who, remember, got to the Eastern Conference Final and they were leading 2-0 against the Tampa Bay Lightning last year. So they kind of fell apart, lost 4 straight, but they have that type of ceiling where everybody is talking about the Carolina Hurricanes and the Boston Bruins and the Tampa Bay Lightning in the East. But if the Rangers get Patrick Kane, that is a major futures shakeup in the entire betting market.
It's almost like a sleeper team, which is crazy to say, because they have Igor Shesterkin and Adam Fox could very well in the Norris Trophy. They got Zibanejad. Like, they got some weapons. The kid lines played really, really good as of late. So I think if you're looking for value in terms of a futures play, in terms of winning the Stanley Cup, I almost think you would have to jump the gun. And maybe it's because it's the New York Rangers, but I fully expect them to do something substantial. If it's not Patrick Kane, it's going to be somebody else, isn't it?
It is, and they're a team that can really perform in the playoffs, right? If Shesterkin gets into form, these are just a couple of game series over there, so he could really steal away games from very, very competitive teams. And if I had to still bet on anyone in the playoffs to carry my team to victory, it would still be Igor Shesterkin. So I think this is the time to take the Rangers for sure.
All right, Pete, got a big-time question for you. Who delivered the most in fantasy hockey this week? It's time for the Delivery of the Week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Special delivery, Matthew Tkachuk. Mm-hmm. He's got to be the man of the hour after All-Star weekend. Had a hat trick in the first game of the All-Star. He's better than a point per game this season. And I think the fact that he and Barkov are on separate lines down the stretch is going to really help Florida replicate what they did offensively last season.
Signed, sealed, and delivered. I agree with Matthew Tkachuk as the delivery of the week. And special shout out to Barkov as well. It was great seeing them both on the ice for the All-Star game, the Atlantic winning the whole thing at the end.
I was going to say as well, shout out to Sasha Barkov for hopping on the podcast, right, Bob?
What about Walt? I think Walt Tkachuk, man, up there in the suite and just celebrating. And let me tell you something about Walt. He's enjoying life and living life to his fullest. So to me, it's the entire Tkachuk family and Walt at the top of the list for me. Big Walt, baby.
Is this a roast? I know Grandma Tkachuk was at Elbow Room the other night as well. So phenomenal job by the state of Florida for Lauderdale. We're getting off the rails here. But yeah, in general, the Florida Panthers. But I wanted to give some love to Barkov. Came on the podcast. Thought it was great to have him on. And obviously, Matthew Tkachuk. That's just a picture-perfect story to this entire weekend. Remember, for all your food delivery needs, use Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
And just a quick reminder, because I know you guys will forget, the listeners got to go back, listen to the show we did on Thursday. We had a bunch of folks stop by, and we touched on everything. It's all still relevant, evergreen. You know, Pete Blackburn, Nick just mentioned Sasha Barkov dropping by. We had our boy Denny Bernstein with Denny. Denny's unbelievable. And I got to go find out who does his wardrobe because...
The best.
I mean, let me tell you something. I could sport one of those Denny blazers.
Yeah.
So go back and listen to that show. That was on Thursday and still holds up.
Yeah, the first time I ever met Denny, he really started it off with a bang because he was wearing an all-white, like... tuxedo type
he's the
thing.
Best.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. No, I had a great time, guys. Just to wrap, I mean, another All-Star weekend in the books. Anna and I are already feeling the pressure for next year because on our home turf. So we really got to live up to expectation in Toronto next year, Anna.
Breaking news, All-Star Fan Fest next year will be in Burlington, Ontario. You heard it here first.
You wish. But yeah, no, it's going to be awesome. I've never been to Toronto, so really looking forward to that. Spinning things ahead. And one other thing I wanted to mention, there was a lot of Colorado Avalanche representation this weekend.
Yeah.
And I just think that we should remind people this is going to be a big difference maker down the stretch. I still expect them to get at least to the Final Four this year, whether it's the goalie tandem of Georgiev and Francouz, Evan Rodriguez when healthy, Bowen Byram could come back soon after the All-Star break. He's about 50% rostered in fantasy. This is a super deep team that has withstood the injuries, right, Nick? And I think we'll remind everybody over the course of time that they're still as good as they were last year.
Yeah, you want to talk about a stealth team to add, right, at the deadline. Joe Sakic, you never know what he's thinking, but you know he's going to strike, Anna.
He is. And you know, I've turned my mind around, guys. I know the last time, there was like a week and a half ago where I was really down on the Colorado Avalanche, rightfully so for the record. I think they were pretty disappointing in the first half of the season. Not their fault. They had a ton of injuries and I was kind of worried where the players would fall into when they're back in the lineup. But I agree with you guys right now. I think the Colorado Avalanche are just such a strong team. When everyone returns back, they're going to go straight up to the top of the rankings.
So I know producer Bob is a big DFS player in daily fantasy in general. So let's look quickly at the schedule, 43 games in total this week. You know, and this is intertwined with last week, you know, a longer week of fantasy hockey with the All-Star break. So in general, it works out to 1 week. There was 6 games last week, 43 games this week. The teams you want to look at for ads, Anaheim, Edmonton, Minnesota, the Islanders, the Rangers, Philadelphia, Seattle, Tampa, and Vancouver. Those are your 9 teams who play 4 times over the span of 2 weeks, and then Boston, Buffalo, LA Kings, Nashville, Ottawa, St. Louis, Winnipeg, just 2-game slates for them.
We got to get you on the scheduling team with Nico Torchia and Brian Tarraconi. You're dialed in.
I want to be on payroll.
On the schedule. Yeah. But the one thing I'll say is Tuesday, Edmonton at Detroit. I think Edmonton's probably got 3 weeks off before this game.
Yeah.
So I'll be taking the Detroit Red Wings because Draisaitl and McDavid, you know, they're just going to take them some time to get their legs. Give me the Red Wings at home. Just mark that. That's my inside look this week. Red Wings at home against Edmonton off of what seems like 4 weeks off.
And the New York Islanders need to step up Monday and Tuesday. They play the Philadelphia Flyers on Monday, February 6th on the road. If they lose that game, like just count them out for the playoffs. If on Tuesday, if they do win that game, they play the Seattle Kraken at home. The Islanders, with the addition of Bo Horvat, who was here at the All-Star game, looked good playing with his old sidekick, right, Pettersson, in some of the All-Star festivities. They need to win both of those games. And if they don't, it's a huge disappointment, in my opinion. So I'm calling out the New York Islanders to get their offense together quickly. Again, Lane Lambert, I think he can do it, but they got to figure out the lines and very quickly for these 2 games right after the break.
Well, this is really tough for me, guys, because the Carolina Hurricanes don't play for the next couple of days, so I don't know who to talk about. But straight off, looking at the schedule, I'm taking a look at a DFS game where you could stack on Thursday, which is the Seattle Kraken and the New Jersey Devils. I feel like those are two of the best teams to stack in the entire league. So if you're playing a little bit of DFS, I feel like that has to be one of the best matchups this week.
I like it. I like it. I'm going to look at a Thursday game. We all know I love revenge. Can I interest you in some Bo Horvat against the Vancouver Canucks right away? Thank you very much. How much money on the board do you think is going to be involved in that game? So give me the New York Islanders because Bo Horvat wants to exact revenge on the Vancouver Canucks on home ice on Thursday.
I like that. And I wish we were staying one more day. I mean, Tampa Bay Lightning at Florida Panthers on Monday, Battle of Florida revived. And what better way for the Panthers to parlay their momentum from this weekend by maybe knocking off their rival and getting the ball rolling here.
Or they'll be gassed, right, with Barkov and Kachuk here all weekend. Maybe it goes the other direction. But they need that one badly, guys.
Well, guys, it was awesome to be together in person and do these shows. Yeah, reminder to go check out the All-Star Day 1 show that we did at Beach Fest. What an amazing showcase for hockey down here in the non-traditional market. And it was a blast to see you, Nick.
You as well, and already looking forward to next year, guys.
It was great. Now we're sending Nick back to Canada so Pete and I can have some peace.
Safe flights, everybody. So for Bobby Bender, producer, Nick Alberga, Anna Dua, Pete Jensen, saying so long. Thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Talk to you next time.